Usually when we talk about a beautiful, clear blue sky on a hot summer day, there is this expectation of, well, nothingness.
Right, yeah. Like it's just empty.
Exactly. You look up from the yacht, there isn't a cloud in sight, and you just think you're looking at a perfectly empty
I
void.
mean, it feels entirely passive, right? Just an absence of weather. But when you step into the world of atmospheric physics and fluid dynamics, that empty sky is revealed as this invisible, high-stakes collision of immense pressure
Oh,
fields.
totally.
It's nonlinear math and just millions of tons of aggressively sinking air.
Which is wild to think about. What looks like nothing to us is actually a highly structured, forcefully maintained atmospheric state.
Yeah, exactly.
And today, our mission for this deep dive is to investigate one highly specific, absolutely fascinating satellite image that captures this perfectly.
A great image.
It really is. So the timestamp on this is Tuesday, June 23, 2026, at 17:09 UTC. And if you look at this image, you see this massive, completely cloudless zone carved out right over Denmark, the Skagerrak, and the Kattegat Straits.
Yeah, it's so distinct.
It is incredibly striking because this clear hole is entirely surrounded by incredibly dense, turbulent cloud systems.
It looks almost artificial, honestly. Like someone just took a giant eraser to a meteorological map of Northern Europe.
So our source material today is this rigorous meteorological analysis that uses some really advanced fluid dynamic frameworks, specifically ODCCT and XYFLOW.
Right, the heavy hitters.
Exactly. To break down the precise atmospheric physics of this image, and just to be clear on those terms for everyone, ODECCT relies on ordinary differential equations to model the continuous time evolution of cloud clearance.
Yeah, it's tracking the changes over time.
While XYFLOW uses Lagrangian tracking, so instead of just looking at a static grid, it traces the exact physical trajectory of individual air parcels as they sweep across Scandinavia.
Which is super important for understanding this.
It really is. So we are going to examine the massive pressure fields and wind currents creating this cloudless zone. And we're also going to evaluate a specific inquiry in the sources regarding whether weather modification, chemical atmospheric spraying could be
Oh,
responsible.
yeah, the chemtrail question. We definitely need to get into that.
Okay, let's unpack this because before we can explain how the clearing happens, we need to understand what the atmosphere is actually doing here.
Yeah, so to really grasp what XYFLOW is revealing about this massive clearing over Denmark, we have to look at the atmospheric flow over Europe as a complete phase space.
Okay, a phase space.
Right. It isn't just a random assortment of clouds. You're looking at four distinct competing thermodynamic zones. And fluid dynamics classifies these as basins of attraction.
Basins of attraction. So it's like a topography map, but for weather.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Like the clouds are pooling in the valleys depending on the local variables, and Denmark is just sitting on an invisible mountain.
Precisely. So over the North Atlantic in the UK, the data shows this dense, opaque, multi-layered cloud mass. That's the moisture-saturated attractor, and that's driven by high ambient moisture and upward vertical motion.
Makes sense.
Then further north, stretching from Iceland to Scotland, you have bright cellular convective clouds. That's the frontal instability attractor. Over central Europe, there's a metastable attractor of a broken stratocumulus. But our target, Scandinavia and Denmark, represents a subsidence or drying attractor.
Okay, but here's my question. The source explicitly states that there is not a shortage of moisture over Scandinavia on this day.
Correct.
Like the water vapor is absolutely present in the air mass, but if the moisture is there, how do we have a completely cloudless sky?
Well, what's fascinating here is that clouds function as a threshold indicator.
A threshold indicator.
Yeah, they're not merely collections of water. They represent a mathematical switch. A cloud only physically manifests when the flux of mass cleanly crosses a strict saturation threshold. So it requires moisture, certainly, but it fundamentally requires upward vertical motion to carry that moisture into cooler altitudes where it can actually condense.
And in meteorology, that vertical velocity is represented by the symbol omega.
Exactly, Omega.
And the data shows that over Denmark on June 23rd, the omega value is firmly negative.
Yes. Because Omega is negative, the air mass is descending from the mid-troposphere. Subsidence fundamentally prevents the moisture from being carried high enough to condense.
So it just stays as a gas.
Exactly. The water is present in the atmospheric column. It simply remains in a vapor state, which renders it completely invisible.
Okay, so the subsidence explains the vertical suppression of the clouds, right?
Right.
But it doesn't really account for the perfect geographical boundaries of this clearing sitting perfectly over Denmark and the Skagerrak.
No, it doesn't.
The sources outline this really complex overlap of pressure fields and wind currents that sort of lock this specific zone into place, like a Venn diagram of weather.
Yeah, it's really a perfect storm of clearing mechanisms. So the primary engine driving this clear zone is anticyclonic subsidence.
Specifically, a massive omega block, right?
Yes, an omega block. On this date, a high-pressure ridge has anchored itself directly over to southern Scandinavia, and that forces the jet stream to bulge far to the north.
Like a giant horseshoe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And underneath the center of that ridge, mid-tropospheric air is being forced downward at a severe rate.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking negative 0.4 to negative 0.8 pascals per second.
Wow. And as that massive column of air sinks from 500 hectopascals down toward the surface, it compresses and warms dry adiabatically, right?
Yes, very rapidly.
I mean, the sources say we're talking nearly 10 degrees Celsius of warming for every kilometer of descent.
It's a huge temperature shift.
That aggressive warming just increases the air's capacity to hold water vapor, effectively vaporizing any cloud droplets trying to form in the mid-levels.
Right, so that thermal suppression handles the mid to high-level clouds perfectly. However, the surface dynamics are completely different, and this introduces the second major pressure field interaction, which is cold sea surface decoupling.
Right, because Denmark is surrounded by water.
Exactly. The North Sea, the Skagerrak, and the Kattegat. And in late June, those waters remain remarkably cold, often 5 to 10 degrees Celsius cooler than the continental summer air mass flowing right over them.
Wait, but hold on. If you have a freezing cold sea surface sitting directly beneath a warm, humid summer air mass, shouldn't that create a ton of dense marine fog?
You would think so.
I mean, we see it in places like San Francisco all the time. Why does the cold water here actually help clear the sky instead of making a massive fog bank?
It's a great question. The difference lies in the depth and the strength of the boundary layer inversion.
Okay, explain that.
So the cold sea surface chills the air immediately above it, right? Creating this dense, heavy marine layer.
Right.
But simultaneously, that omega block is pushing incredibly warm, dry air down from above. This creates a severe inversion that acts as an impenetrable atmospheric lid.
Oh, wow. A lid.
Yeah. It physically decouples the turbulent boundary layer near the surface from the free troposphere above it.
So the mixing is completely severed.
Completely severed.
The moisture trapped in that cold marine layer cannot be lifted high enough to form a stratocumulus deck because of the inversion lid.
Exactly.
And the dry air aloft is too warm to condense, so you are effectively sandwiching the atmosphere between a descending thermal ceiling and a refrigerated floor.
Which creates a remarkably stable, cloud-free column of air over the water.
That is wild.
But the wind currents also play a critical role in reinforcing this, because out in the Atlantic, west of Iceland, the satellite imagery shows a mature, deep, low-pressure cyclone.
Okay.
And as that cyclone spins, its massive circulation pulls down a tongue of highly stable, ozone-rich air all the way from the lower stratosphere.
Yeah, the sources refer to this as a dry slot intrusion.
Right.
This cyclonic circulation is wrapping this invisible river of stratospheric air around its southern flank, and the eastern edge of that dry slot is whipping right across the Skagerrak belt over Denmark.
Yeah, and if you look at this specific region in a satellite water vapor band, the dry slot registers as this stark, dark band. The moisture gradients are incredibly sharp.
Oh, I bet.
The stratospheric intrusion brings intense, localized sinking motion, ensuring that any residual moisture advecting in from the Atlantic is immediately desiccated.
Desiccated, just completely dried out.
Yeah.
And reinforcing all of this from the east is the continental outflow, right?
Exactly.
The broader regional pressure gradients are driving steady easterly winds from Central Europe across the Baltic Sea and Jutland.
Yeah.
And since this air mass has already traveled over land, it's inherently dry aloft and completely devoid of convective available potential energy.
Right. So when you superimpose all of these dynamics, you see why the geography of the clearing is so precise.
It's like four different forces all hitting the exact same spot.
Exactly. You have the descending omega block vaporizing clouds from above, the cold sea surface decoupling the boundary layer below, a stratospheric dry slot sweeping across the northern edge, and stable continental easterlies pushing in from the south.
It is an absolute masterpiece of overlapping fluid mechanics.
That really is.
But here's where it gets really interesting. Because when an AI weather model encounters this chaotic collision between the sinking continental air and the wet Atlantic barrier, it frequently breaks down.
Oh, yeah. They struggle big time with this.
The source text highlights that standard pixel-based AI models only achieve about 90% accuracy right at the edge of this clear zone.
Right.
To the naked eye, it's a perfectly sharp line. And the text actually calls this boundary the cloud shortage contour density.
Yeah. And the reason AI fails is that a standard AI model attempts to process the atmosphere as if it were a static photograph.
Like it's just looking at a JPEG.
Basically, yeah. It uses convolutional neural networks to evaluate a specific pixel and determine its state, you know, cloud or clear, based purely on neighboring pixel values and historical image patterns.
Okay.
But the atmosphere is a continuous fluid flow. That sharply defined edge of the cloud deck is mathematically defined as a separatrix.
A separatrix. I love that term.
It's a great word.
So the separatrix represents a strict mathematical boundary in the phase space where the physical flux, meaning the directional movement of the wind and moisture, literally changes sign.
Exactly. On the Atlantic side, the advection operator is pushing saturated air together.
Right.
On the Scandinavian side, the divergence is pulling it apart and drying it out.
So trying to predict the state of a pixel on that boundary using standard AI is like, it's like showing someone a macro photograph of a single grain of sand on a beach and asking them to predict if it will be wet or dry in 10 minutes.
That's a perfect analogy.
Right. Because without providing any data on whether the tide is coming in or going out, you're just guessing.
Without knowing the direction of the flow, the AI is effectively guessing.
Mm.
It lacks the essential thermodynamic context.
Right.
Which, you know, in this framework is the directional Jacobian of the traction operator.
So advanced physical models like the ECMWF, they don't just look at the pixels, they calculate that Jacobian. They are constantly computing the specific trajectory, temperature, and moisture flux of the air parcels as they crash into that boundary.
Yeah, the ECMWF processes millions of additional calculations per grid point to evaluate that physical flux. And by doing that, it achieves near 100% boundary accuracy. The cloud edge is not a static line painted on a map. It is a violent geometric threshold where competing pressure fields are actively colliding in real time.
That is so cool. But, you know, because that boundary looks so unusually sharp and geographically locked to the untrained eye, people often assume it has to be man-made.
Right. Yeah.
The source material deliberately includes this rigorous, impartial investigation into a frequently raised inquiry. Could artificial intervention, specifically chemical atmospheric spraying, you know, commonly called chemtrails, be responsible for clearing this 500-kilometer zone over Denmark?
It is a hypothesis that surfaces frequently. Whenever people observe highly linear or abruptly geometric features in the atmosphere that seem to defy intuitive weather patterns, you know, this comes up. And the sources approach this strictly through the lens of peer-reviewed data, just evaluating whether the physical reality of the June 23rd satellite image supports artificial intervention.
Right. And a foundational piece of context provided in the text is this 2016 survey published in Environmental Research Letters.
Mm-hmm.
They surveyed 77 of the world's leading atmospheric chemists and geochemists, and they provided them with the exact data points often cited as evidence for a covert atmospheric spraying program.
Yeah.
And out of those 77 experts, 76, so that's 98.7%, concluded that the evidence was entirely explainable by natural atmospheric chemistry in ordinary contrail physics.
Yeah, if we connect this to the bigger picture, the consensus is incredibly strong. But the sources push past the statistics to evaluate the actual physical mechanics.
Right, let's look at the actual science.
Let's test the premise of the claim.
Yeah.
What exactly is coming out of a commercial jet engine that could chemically or physically interact with a massive marine stratocumulus deck? According to the IPCC and the EPA, commercial jet exhaust is approximately 72% carbon dioxide and 28% water vapor.
But the hypothesis often relies on the idea of trace metals, right? Like barium, aluminum, or strontium being deployed.
Right, that's the usual claim.
But the metallurgical limits of commercial jet engines make that physically impossible. The sources note that trace metals in commercial jet fuel are virtually non-existent, like measuring less than 0.1 parts per million.
It's basically zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Introducing dissolved metals into the combustion chamber would catastrophically degrade the turbine blades and just destroy engine stability.
Yeah, the engines would fail.
So the supposed chemical fuel required to erase a cloud simply isn't present in the exhaust.
Exactly. And furthermore, we have to look at the thermodynamic consequences of what actually is in the exhaust.
Which is water vapor.
Yes. Airplanes do leave visible trails, but the physics of condensation trails, you know, contrails, are governed by the Schmidt-Appelmann criterion.
Okay, what is that?
It's a strict thermodynamic formula. It dictates that contrails only form under specific profiles of ambient temperature, atmospheric pressure, and humidity, typically requiring temperatures below negative 40 degrees Celsius.
Okay, so when a jet engine combusts hydrocarbons, it is physically adding water vapor and particulate matter into the upper atmosphere.
Right.
And if the ambient conditions satisfy that Schmidt-Appelmann criterion, that exhaust condenses and freezes into ice crystals, you are physically injecting mass into the sky.
Which means aircraft possess absolutely no physical or chemical mechanism to subtract a mid-level water cloud.
Wow. Okay, so what does this all mean?
Well, the peer-reviewed data shows that when contrails persist, they actually increase cloud cover.
They add to it.
Yes. A dedicated 2016 study found that in heavily trafficked flight corridors, aircraft increase cirrus optical thickness by 22%.
Wait, really? Increasing cirrus optical thickness means those artificial clouds become less transparent to outgoing infrared radiation, right?
Yes, exactly.
So they effectively trap heat below them, resulting in a net warming effect. The text says it's about 876 milliwatts per square meter over Europe.
Yeah, it's a measurable warming effect.
Basically, planes can accidentally make clouds, but they possess absolutely no mechanism to erase a 500-kilometer-wide cloud deck.
No, they don't. Erasing a massive multi-country stratocumulus sheet violates the basic conservation of mass.
Right.
And the source text actually subjects the chemtrail hypothesis to 6 independent falsification tests against this specific June 23rd event.
And
it fails all of them. The geographic footprint of the clearing perfectly aligns with the meteorological axis of the Omega Block pressure ridge, not with commercial flight corridors.
Ah, that makes sense.
And more importantly, contrails operate exclusively in the upper troposphere where temperatures are low enough to trigger freezing.
Right, below negative 40.
Exactly. But the clearing over Denmark is fundamentally tied to the marine boundary layer, which is directly above the surface of the North Sea.
Right. You cannot fundamentally alter the thermodynamic state of the ocean surface by deploying water vapor 10 kilometers above it.
No, it's a completely different slice of the atmospheric phase space.
So to accept the artificial intervention hypothesis for this specific image, one would have to assume that an aircraft fleet somehow defeated the ERA5 global forecast models.
Right.
Manipulated the EUMETSAT satellite data retroactively, and bypass the laws of thermodynamics to perfectly mimic a naturally occurring omega block.
Yeah, it's just not plausible. The physical reality is far more elegant.
Definitely.
The most parsimonious explanation, fully supported by the advection operators, the satellite telemetry, and the thermodynamic profiles, is that this cloudless zone is a 100% natural masterpiece of fluid dynamics.
It is an invisible fixed point attractor. It is actively anchored by a descending omega block, sealed from below by a freezing ocean lid, and swept completely clean by a stratospheric dry slot in continental easterlies.
Yeah. When you map the physics, it truly forces you to appreciate the sheer invisible weight and mechanical power of the atmosphere. It really does.
The absence of a cloud requires an immense, continuous expenditure of energy to maintain.
And that is the perfect takeaway for you listening today. The massive clear zone over Denmark isn't a lack of water, a glitch in the matrix, or a chemical experiment.
No.
The next time you step outside on a sweltering summer afternoon and look up at a perfectly clear, flawless blue sky, remember that you are not just looking at nothing.
Far from it.
You aren't staring into a passive, empty void. You're looking at millions of tons of invisible, rapidly descending air.
Actively fighting off the clouds.
Yes. You are observing a hyperactive, mathematically precise pressure field. Air is dropping thousands of feet from the mid-troposphere, compressing, warming dry adiabatically, and actively vaporizing any water droplets that attempt to condense.
It's doing just as much thermodynamic work as a raging supercell thunderstorm.
Exactly. It is simply operating on a frequency our eyes cannot perceive. The architecture of a clear sky is incredibly delicate, though. It requires a perfect alignment of sea surface decoupling, localized subsidence, and jet stream meanderings to lock that separatrix into place.
Which leaves us with a critical thought to mull over. We've spent this deep dive analyzing how deeply dependent these clear sky attractors are on highly specific variables.
Hmm.
You know, the exact temperature of the North Sea, the precise horseshoe shape of the Omega Block, the stable flow of continental easterlies.
Very specific conditions.
Right. But as the global climate system absorbs more energy, our oceans are undeniably warming, and the thermal gradients driving the jet stream are becoming increasingly erratic.
Yeah, that's a huge factor moving forward.
So if the North Sea warms enough to shatter that boundary layer inversion, or if the jet stream loses the structural integrity required to anchor a massive Omega Block over Scandinavia, how will these invisible boundaries shift?
It's a great question. We just don't fully know yet.
Could the mathematically perfect temporary clear skies over Denmark one day become entirely unachievable as the Separatrix is pushed inland?
Or, you know, will the destabilized jet stream lock these high pressure ridges in place for longer durations?
Wow, yeah, turning a temporary clearing into a permanent localized drought.
Exactly.
The invisible pressure fields above us are constantly being rewritten. The next time you look up at a pristine blue sky, you'll know exactly how fragile that empty space really is.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll catch you next time.